Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears. And with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 31 responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ears to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Into
your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hands. Rescue me from
it. Your face shine upon the servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Glory.
A reading from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way. We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the living Christ. Amen. Good morning. It is truly great to be with you again. Thank you for the invitation to be back at St. Peter's by the Sea. Indeed, it is one of my favorite congregations. And it's always wonderful to be with you. I was with one of our other churches here in San Diego last night, and somebody came up to me and said, every time we see you, we're celebrating something. And I thought, well, that's more or less what I do. I get to go to the great celebrations of the church. I'll go from here to a church that's celebrating their 60th anniversary this weekend. Your nearby neighbor, Claremont Lutheran Church, celebrating there. And just one opportunity after another to be with the churches in Southern California and in Hawaii. I want to say a couple of things as I begin. First of all, the gentle yoga sounds wonderful. I wish I could be here on Thursdays and do a little of that stretching with you. Congratulations on taking this next step in your remodeling. I've been hearing about that for some time, about the very enthusiastic and supportive effort of this congregation to do that good work that shows such life and such future for the church and for this congregation. And also, I just want to say a very personal word of gratitude for your pastor, who continues to serve here in this congregation where she started her ministry as an ordained Lutheran pastor. I want to say thank you, Pastor Karen, for being such a great partner and colleague in ministry. I will always remember and I will always give thanks for the first time that I met Karen and her husband Don when I was visiting the seminary where Karen was finishing her seminary work. We had a brief meeting. We got to know each other just for a moment, but already I began to think that these were two people that should come to California, should come to the Pacifica Synod. And quite honestly, when I met with her that very first day, I was thinking of this congregation. And lo and behold, the Spirit of God moves in mighty and wondrous ways. And thank you. Thank you for being a good pastor to these people, a good pastor in this synod, and a good colleague and friend. And then finally, a thanks to this congregation for being the partners that you are with the other 116 congregations of the Pacifica Synod and the about 9,500 congregations of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. All together, we are able to do amazing things that none of us could do alone and by ourselves. So thank you for that kind of partnership that bonds us together. More than 4 million people, all those congregations, 17,000 pastors, and remarkable ministry happening day to day around the world through the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There is a story that has been a very intriguing story for me, especially this past year. as around the beginning of this year, I spent some special time with this story, and it just lingers in my heart. And I have to weave it into the message today that is based on the first lesson that we read, that lesson from the Acts, where the sixth and the seventh chapter of the book of Acts tell the story of Stephen, who was the first in the early Christian church, the first who had been appointed to the ministry of service, the diaconal ministry, the ministry of deacon, and how timely that this lesson appears in our common lectionary for this particular Sunday on at the same time that you will be doing the rite of consecration and the affirmation for this congregation's diaconal ministry. So I want to tell you this story that does not come from the book of Acts. It's a story about two men whose names we do not know. There are others in this story too, as you'll soon hear, and they had a significant role also, a more significant role. But these two men had been living in grave danger for much of their lives. For you see, these two men had become at some point in their life blind, sightless. They were no longer able to see. And having suffered that great tragedy of once having sight, but no longer having sight, they were very vulnerable. And the road that they were on was a perilous journey, because most people who were blind in that day and age long ago were people that, because of that affliction that came upon them, that took away their sight, they were not able to do the work that most people did in those days, work in the fields or to be building or constructing or doing those kinds of things. And so often people that had lost one of their senses were among the poorest of the people. They were often beggars, sometimes homeless, sometimes hungry, sometimes unable to have the normal life with a supportive family, and even sometimes rejected by their community. They were vulnerable because people tried to make them invisible, tried not to see them. They tried to silence them if they cried out too loud. They didn't want to be embarrassed by these people, these hapless ones in their midst, that the circumstances of life had dealt in that particular way. So life was dangerous for them because they had so little and so few options without their sight. And now there were even more dangers surrounding them. Here's the whole story. These two men lived in an area near the city of Jericho. We know that. They could not see, but they could hear. And they had heard that a miracle worker had come to their village, to Jericho. And they heard that that miracle worker was going to be moving from Jericho on the road to Jerusalem. And we know that that same miracle worker had told stories about that road and described it as a very dangerous place where bandits might be waiting for the innocent ones to hurt them and to rob them and to leave them to die. But these two men, already in the plight that they were in, decided to go out and sit on that dangerous road. And so life was becoming even more complicated for them. And they sat out there and they waited. And when they heard the sounds of a crowd coming near, and when they perceived that it was those who were following this miracle worker of whom they had heard, they began to cry out with loud voices, crying out so that they would be heard, so that they would be recognized. And the people traveling with the miracle worker, some of them probably their own neighbors and people in their own village, tried to shush them, tried to silence them, told them to be quiet, told them not to cry out in the way that they were. But the two men while trying to be shushed, even cried out louder, we're told. They cried out over the din of the crowd and over those who were trying to silence them. And lo and behold, the one that whose attention that they were seeking stopped in front of them and asked them a very simple question. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the two men said, "We want to be able to see." Very simple answer. Of course, that was the whole reason that they were sitting in that dangerous place. They asked if they might again be able to see. And then this one, this miracle worker, spoke to them one more time, reached out to them, and actually we're told he touched their sightless eyes. And he commanded that they be given back their vision. And amazingly, now they could see. Well, you can only imagine their great joy. Because for years after losing their sight, they suddenly had their sight. And what did they see? They saw the vision of the one who had given them back their sight. And now they took an even more dangerous step. Because as a man named Matthew writes this story about two men without a name, he tells us that the other man, named Jesus, rejoined the entourage, and these two nameless men follow Jesus. And that put them in the greatest danger that they had ever experienced. Being without sight, that was one danger. Sitting on the road to Jericho, having the neighbors and friends and people around them trying to shush them up, well, that's pretty dangerous too. But following Jesus, well, that's even more dangerous. If they followed Jesus, they would find themselves in Jerusalem. And we're told that they did. And as they follow Jesus, they may have seen him bring Lazarus out of the tomb. Perhaps they watched and even joined with the crowd as they laid the palm branches and the clothing on the path and as Jesus entered Jerusalem. They may have seen him in the temple, preaching and teaching. They perhaps watched the crowds and the authorities turn against him. They might have witnessed him being smitten and stricken and afflicted there at the hands of Pilate and of Caiaphas and the high priest and of Herod. And they may have been among those who watched him dragging a cross outside the city and being crucified. So now we fast forward a few months. Jesus died. He was buried. We know on the third day he rose again and that he is risen indeed. He had a number of appearances to those of his followers. He showed them his nail-scarred hands and his feet and the wound in his side. They may have gone with him or at least heard about, after 40 days, his ascent to the mountaintop with some of his followers. They may have heard the command that he gave to them to go out into the world and tell the story again and again. They may have watched him disappear into the clouds. We're not sure. They may have indeed been part of the moving of the Holy Spirit 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. And they might have been with the apostles who were gathering. And as Luke tells us in the second chapter of Acts, those that followed Jesus began a new kind of living. They gathered day by day. They broke bread together. And they shared the meal that Jesus had given to them in the upper room the night before he was betrayed. They praised God and they immersed themselves with the Holy Word of God. And they found their faith being the very center of their lives. And they cared for their neighbor. They loved their neighbor as themselves, the commandment that he implanted in their hearts and minds. And we're told they sold all that they had so that they could distribute it evenly and everyone would have enough. And these two nameless men who had chosen to leave Jericho and to get up from the road between Jericho and Jerusalem and to follow Jesus may indeed have been among them. And so the story goes on of those early Christians. And in today's first lesson, we hear a story that comes a little later on. The first Christians were loving their neighbors so wonderfully well that people were coming again and again and more to receive the love and the care that these apostles and these early Christians were giving them because they were taking care of those without the necessities of life. And it became too great of a task for the apostles and the early church workers to do all the preaching and teaching that they were doing, as well as caring for the community that was in need. And so they had a plan, and the plan was to appoint others who would assist them in caring for those that would come in need. And in that plan, the diaconate, the deacons of the church, were brought to the church and given to the church. And they appointed the first deacons, and one of them was named Stephen. And Stephen, we're told, as we read in Acts chapter 6 and 7, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only was he called to be there among those who came to seek relief and to seek need and to seek the necessities of life and to care for the community and to love them, but he was quite the preacher. And if you read those two chapters, you can see it's one of the longest preachings and teachings in Scripture. He gave them the whole story. And as he brought that story to its great conclusion of the story of God, starting from Abraham all the way through the salvation story of Jesus, there were those who didn't like to hear what Stephen was saying. The same ones who didn't like to hear what Jesus was saying. And we heard the story today, and we know the story, I believe, of that first deacon, that because he preached so emphatically, and because he couldn't be silenced and shushed when he was asked to stop telling the story of Jesus, crying out what he knew to be his understanding of God's saving love, that he was dragged out of the city and he was stoned. And as he was being stoned, his eyes were opened and he was given the vision and he saw Jesus. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I have no biblical proof for what I'm about to say. But I'm just wondering if earlier in his life, Stephen might have been a blind man who lived in Jericho, who lived in a dangerous situation and couldn't see, but when he was given his sight, his visions opened and he saw Jesus and went on an even more dangerous journey following Jesus to the cross and to his death, knowing that maybe that's the journey that as a follower of Jesus, he would have to endure. And when the call came for someone to rise up and to love your neighbor as yourself and to have the ministry of the diaconate, maybe Stefan's hand went in the air and said, "Here am I, send me." Now, I can't begin to even ask you to make that same connection, because there simply is no biblical proof for that. And I have to tell you, no commentator has ever tried to do what I have just suggested. I'm just intrigued with two stories in scriptures that are not that far apart in the chronology of scripture that tell the story of two people who were followers of Jesus, who had their eyes opened and who took the perilous journey of walking in Jesus' footsteps. And while Stephen was probably not actually a blind man in Jericho, it was somebody like that man that regained his sight and decided to follow Jesus with his whole heart and life. It was someone like him that did become that first deacon, because he had no fear. And he told the story that was somehow deeply rooted in his life and in his heart with wild abandon. He wanted everyone to hear. And when people tried to shush him, he wouldn't be quiet. And it cost him his life, just as Jesus gave his life, for the sake of that story of God's great love and God's great compassion. And so here we are, St. Peter's by the Sea, on yet another one of the wonderful occasions where you have equipped and taught and trained and nurtured several people to undertake the role of deacon in this congregation, in this community, where they have prepared themselves and they have put their hand in the air and said, "Here am I, send me, send me." And along with them, we'll hear the affirmations of those who have gone on that journey before them. But it's not even just about them, it's about all of us, because each and every one of us, as God has included us and chosen us in our baptismal calling, each of us is given the opportunity in our own way and according to our own gifts to be followers of Jesus and to walk in his footsteps. And as you may be getting from me this morning, when we choose to do that, it's a perilous journey. Now, I truly doubt that any one of us here will ever be martyred because of our faith. We don't live in that kind of a society or culture. We have a wonderful freedom that we enjoy in this land and where we live to express our faith and to worship in whatever way that we please, and to never be afraid in our faith that somehow or another the authorities are going to come after us. But I will stand before you today and say that for every one of us, as a called child of God, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we are given the privilege of not only the joy of our faith journey, but also the commitment and the sacrifice and the opportunity to give our lives away for the sake of him who gave his life for you and for me. And so, like two unknown men sitting on a roadside, whose names we'll never know, and like a man named Stephen, who said, "Here am I, send me," and like the apostles Peter and James and Andrew and John and the others that were of the first disciples of Jesus, and like two deacons who will come before us today to be consecrated, and others who will come to be affirmed. Each and every one of us, parishioners, lay people, pastors, bishop, every one of us has the opportunity and the privilege of taking that journey. That journey with a miracle worker who gives us every day a new vision. A new vision to see him and to see the road before us. Not a smooth road each day, but a road of opportunity. A road of privilege, joy as a child of God. A road of commitment and discipline, discipleship and sacrifice. And a road that allows us to know that when we come to the end of that road, we will see Jesus even more clearly. Thanks be to God for Stephen. Thanks be to God for two unnamed men in Jericho. Thanks be to God for all of you this day as we journey together in the life that Jesus gives to us. Amen.
I present Nancy Berner and Diane Sherwood for consecration to the ministry of deacon. They have been recommended by me and properly prepared and approved by the Congregation Council of St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church. Jennifer Smart, Don Snowden, and Joan Alton, the deacons who serve in this congregation, are also ready to renew their vows in the service of our faith community.
Those called to be deacons are members of the congregation and are accountable to the pastor of that congregation. The deacon is a minister of word and service, an outreach of Christ into the community. The deacon serves the needy, cares for the homebound, comforts the distressed. The deacon teaches and performs liturgical functions within the worship life of the congregation.
Nancy and Diane, please come forward.
Will you, as congregational deacons, perform the work of a deacon in this congregation and in this community? St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church, a congregation of the Pacifica Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, confesses that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God and the norm for its faith and life. We accept, teach, and confess the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds. We also acknowledge the Lutheran confessions as true witnesses and faithful expositions of the Holy Scriptures. Will you serve in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and these creeds and confessions? Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and faithful in your use of the means of grace and in daily prayer for the pastor and this congregation? Witness to Jesus Christ in word and deed, and by your own example, encourage God's people in faithful service and living. Mighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen. Amen.
Will you, the congregational deacons at St. Peter's by the Sea, continue in your ministry of word and service, carrying the love of Christ into the community? Members of St. Peter's by the Sea, will you continue in your support of these deacons? And will you receive Nancy and Diane being consecrated today and installed as congregational deacons to serve God's people, affirming and supporting their ministry among you with your prayers and support?
We will.
Lord be with you. God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us the way of servanthood. We praise you for the mission that you have set before this congregation. We praise you for calling these servants to live out their baptism in service to you and your church. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Diane, whom you have called to be a congregational deacon. Fill her with the gifts of grace for this ministry of word and service. Deacon Diane, this ministry is committed to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let the people of St. Peter's by the Sea say Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Nancy, whom you have called to be a congregational deacon. Fill her with the gifts of grace for this ministry of word and service. Deacon Nancy, this ministry is committed to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let the people of St. Peter by the Sea say Amen.
Amen.
And wear this stole as a sign of your ministry and your service in the church. Fancy reversible thing, I can't figure it out. Wait a minute.
Start it again.
Put it on right.
There we go.
Yes. Wardrobe malfunction. Deacon Nancy, receive this soul, wear this stole as a sign of your ministry and your service to the church. Please stand for the creed.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one
Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Made alive in Christ and filled with his Holy Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. God, our salvation, you have made us your living stones in the waters of baptism. We pray for the church and its leaders, for the newly baptized, for the missionaries around the world. We pray for our church leaders, especially Bishop Murray, Bishop Elizabeth, and Pastor Karen, as they continue to lead us in our spiritual journey with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our home, your spirit dwells with creation. We pray for the earth, for clean water and air, for the earth's foundation, for the lands of all creatures, the land all creatures inhabit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our way, you call our paths of justice. We pray for nations and leaders, for courts and legislatures, for strife-torn communities, and for our enemies. We pray for our deployed military, especially Jeff, Edgar, Dr. Don, and Michael. Keep them safe from harm as they protect us in service to our country. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, our refuge, you deliver us in times of trouble. We pray for the rejected and persecuted, for the neglected infants and children, for the lonely and the unemployed, for the sick and for all in need, especially Dante, Bob, Anne, Patty, Dawn, Reva, Hank, Lorraine, Barbara, Jessica, Don, Imogene, Mieko, Dora, Jessica, Ivy, Robert, Donald, JT, James, Joe, Frankie, Alan, and Faith and John. We pray also for those who are homebound or in care facilities, especially Kevin, Diego, Jerry, Keith, David, Richard, Mary, Lee, Genna, and Anne, and for all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, our shelter, you draw all people to yourself. We pray for those who are homeless and those with inadequate housing. For all who come to this building seeking a safe haven. We pray for those who are adversely affected by the recent fires and loss. Be with them during this time and give them comfort and hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, our comforter, we pray for the Boyd family and friends on the death of Jim Boyd, and for family and friends of Pastor Dale on his passing. Be with them all and provide comfort and healing to them during this difficult time of loss. Pour out your spirit upon all who mourn and make known your promise of everlasting life and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of promise, send your special blessings to Diane and Nancy as they begin their service to you and our church as deacons. Be with them as they go forth on this special journey. Also bless Susan as she goes forth to a new life in a new town. Continue to bless her in all the special ways she has provided her blessings to us here at St. Peter's. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us take a moment now in silence to offer our prayers for those who are close in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, in your mercy.
Prayer.
Into your hands, most gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace.
Peace be with you. Congratulations. Yes, Nancy. Peace be with you. Thank you. Peace be with you, Diane. It's, congratulations. Wonderful journey you're on. Peace be with you, Dad. Yes.